it's very likely this is how the tyrannical government comes into play, right? These tyrannical leaders and controllers, is that they'll look at the infighting, and then that will be used as the necessary excuse for dictatorial regime control. It will be for our own good.
You're listening to The Alex Spicer Show, where we explore the fundamental principles of freedom and happiness in light of current and historical events. By exploring these principles, I hope to enlighten and inspire you to make the difference our nation needs to get through the troubled waters of today and tomorrow.
Last time we spoke about tribalism, and we touched on it really, not too deeply, but I did bring up how tribalism is the antithesis to unity that is generally brought about from religion. But there's so much more about tribalism to discuss, because that is one of the great dangers that we are facing today. In fact, I'm going a little deeper into tribalism today, because I had a listener ask if I could, because they are quite concerned about it. They understand that this is one of the dangers of today. This is a great challenge of today. So I hope to make my thoughts here concise. But a tribe, if we were to define what a tribe is a group of persons having a common character, occupation, or interest. In many ways, you can classify the divisional groups that we associate with as a sort of tribe. Divisional groups such as your economic class, they say, oh, the poor, the middle class, the wealthy, your race, black, white, interracial, Hispanic, etc. There's a lot of things. Sometimes they'll go a little more broadly, like minority and majority, and as well as immigrant, non-immigrant. There's a lot of different ways in which we can classify ourselves, divide ourselves into these groups, but really, those are the tribes. What makes these groups, these tribes, dangerous is that we put ourselves into a mode where we are tribalistic. See, the thing is, these groups, they themselves are tribalistic. The people in them are. And what that means is that they are exclusive and they are filled with enmity toward the other groups. The survival and power of the tribe supersedes all other considerations, and that's the dangerous thing, is because you cannot have a consistent moral foundation across society when it's based on when people are divided into tribes, when tribe is more important. When you are in a tribe, you will reject anything that is morally similar to others, just because you dislike them. You see that quite readily with the African-American History Museum. They've declared things such as, timeliness, like being on time somewhere, having a nuclear family. Those are things that belong to white people. Like that's something that is centrally white. The disgusting and scary thing is, I mentioned before, tribalism. I mean, when we become tribalistic, you have enmity towards other groups, and that's exactly what is taking place. A friend of mine, actually a relative of mine, is in the education system, and he mentioned how it is part of their curriculum to teach people what their races, their races, are like, rather than allowing people to discover what they themselves as individuals are like. And they will say, this is white, this is black, this is Hispanic, or this is brown. And then they will then teach that anything white is something that the other tribes, the other groups should dislike, abhor, and oppose. And you want to know one of those things are? One of those things that they declare as white is capitalism. You see, there is a lot more sinister things at play here when it comes to tribalism. You will dislike and hate anything that the other tribes value, or that they find to be moral, just because you have a reason to dislike them, whether that has to do with history or not. So this survival of the tribe, it supersedes everything else. That's more important. And the tribe, it wants to dominate because domination ensures perpetuation. People from other tribes aren't actually people. So if someone is from another tribe, if they're outside of your tribe, they're not really a person like you. They're not people like you and me if they're outside of our tribe. But they're different. They're subhuman or second class. Or in some way, they are deserving of whatever mistreatment we give them. Wrongs of the past are either exaggerated or falsified to strengthen the tribe's sense of justice. There is no morality except what the tribe deems as good. There is no commonality of mankind, because that would defeat the purpose of having a tribe. There's definitely no forgiveness to anyone outside the tribe. Neither is there accountability. If you are part of the right tribe, the spoils of others belong to you. Tribalism in a modern age also comes with a kind of a different sort of aspect. Because in our age, right, we're not fighting for survival. I know that many people on the left are saying that. We are fighting for our lives, etc. Let's not be ridiculous. We are living in the greatest time in human history. And especially in America, prosperity abounds. We, even if you are very, very poor, you are living better than a large portion of the world. So the interesting thing about tribalism today is that it comes with this aspect, and this is a benefit of prosperity, is that in our modern age, there are certain promises of material ease as a sort of righteous compensation that is given to your tribe, that can be obtained in your tribe, that can be given to your tribe just because of, well, basically any sort of excuse, any sort of cry of malcontent or cry of mistreatment, whether it's true or not. What's even more ridiculous, though, is that entitlement. There are groups of people who believe that they can win some sort of status through penitence or through expressing guilt for their privilege, and offer their resources in a sort of like peace offering, and that's so ridiculous. But in a way, that's how, you know, you try to make peace with other tribes and you try to be on the winning side. And it's very easy to kind of see this behavior. I mean, it happens all over the world and throughout all of history. Even though, let's say if we go to the Native American tribes, long before today, back in the day, they would join forces to take out other tribes that they disliked. Though they were always warring against each other, there was always divisions and really lots of bloodshed. There are times when you go, you know, if you dislike one group enough, you're willing to say, hey, like, you know, you're clearly the one that can help us. You know, like, if we group forces, we can get rid of this person. And so no one in a cultural way, because that's what's happening culturally, no one wants to be part of the group that's being ousted. And so it's a lot easier to feel so righteous and so good inside about offering up your sort of penitence and declaring your privilege, your state of unrighteousness, your state of somehow oppressing others through your very existence, right? By declaring these things, you're trying to win points. That way you can separate yourself from this group that is being ousted, that's being ostracized. It's really disgusting. It's really saddening. But this is important to recognize, that culturally we are becoming more and more tribalistic. It's all about the tribe. And trust me, once you go just one step further, like, culture shapes your actions, the norms, and even the moral sentiments of society. And eventually it does break out into the physical actions of people that they will then not only feel and philosophize about these sort of things, they then take action on it. And that's readily happening today. You have Antifa and other groups that are doing this. It is so important that we pull ourselves back from this brink, because actually, let me just back up and say, one of the things that could be very helpful to us is by recognizing this thing, and this is something I stand firmly for, and that is, there is absolute moral truth. It exists. That there really is such thing as true morality. But once we steer into relativism, which has happened for decades, and it kind of reached its zenith a couple years ago, and it really broke way for us to get into the stage where we are now, where now you can make up your own morality, and tribalism, the morals, the morality of the tribe, isn't so hard to adapt to, because you've already destroyed the idea that the concept that there can be anything inherently good or bad, that there can be evil, or there can be right or wrong, but that it's just kind of up to you to decide. There are a lot of examples of tribalism that happened throughout history, and like I said, these tribes, they come in different ways and different groups, but they ultimately, when gone far enough, if we're talking about especially in modern history, they lead to bloodshed. Previously, yeah, they always led to bloodshed, but now, when we see cultural tribalism take place, where people are convinced they are of one class and people are of another, and they cannot relate to one another, they are enemies of one another, then you do end up with bloodshed. You do end up with a sort of civil war and revolution. I mean, you can have, you know, the proletariat versus the bourgeoisie, or the haves versus the have-nots. We should ask ourselves, what is it about tribes that convinces people to willingly deal out evils upon each other? Well, it's clear, as I mentioned before, that tribes, they tear down commonality and relatability of mankind, leading to a perception that others are not equal nor deserving of humane treatment. They are, of course, the enemy, and in some way they are subhuman. So yeah, it's really easy. That's how people can decide to easily delve out evils upon others, because they are convinced that there is nothing good nor human or normal or relatable in the other people. Now, this danger, though, of tribalism, it shapes our human behavior to be completely uncivilized, if that wasn't already made clear enough. That's what this comes down to. Once you have no morality, the morality is declared by the group, there is no more civilization. You know, we have spent thousands of years, many millennia, as human beings trying to overcome tribalism, that people found that there was so much to gain, very little to lose, if really anything to lose, by getting rid of their tribes and by assimilating together. This is something I need to insert here, though. This has actually been on my mind about tribalism. It's more of a warning. First, you need to know that tribalism will take over America, and I mean that. And what I mean by that, though, is it will not cause our collapse, per se. But this push for tribalism is a distraction, a way to keep us divided, while conniving sycophants seize more power and control. And so, this is the warning part. Eventually, tribalism will give way for tyrannical authoritarian government. Because we're distracted, right? We're all fighting each other. So, we may in fact discover that the infighting between tribes, between these groups in America, it's very likely this is how the tyrannical government comes into play, right? These are these tyrannical leaders and controllers. Is that they'll look at the infighting, and then that will be used as the necessary excuse for dictatorial regime control. It will be for our own good, for the good of the people and our nation. It will be declared that our constitutional government is too weak and inadequate to deal with such problems, and so the noble dictator will have to step up to save us from our own evil. So that's really my warning. That's the thing we should really be afraid of. Human beings through the ages have put in a lot of work to get us away from tribalism, and we have seen some turning back, some recession to that, where we have recessed into tribes in different sort of revolutions, and it turns out for the worse. It really sets the entire nation back quite a lot when that happens. And pretty much nearly always it ends up with a tyrannical ruler, a tyrannical government, and some never are able to get out of that. Some are unable to relinquish or to be freed from that. I mean, you have that problem in China, in North Korea, in Russia. You have that problem in Venezuela as well. Once you create tribes out of people, it's literally, it's the sycophant, it's the person who, the politician, the revolutionary's opportune moment. They just wait for it. Oh, they can't wait to have it. They are so excited when we can turn on each other like this, because, like I said, becomes the necessary opportunity, the necessary crisis for them to step up and do what is the right thing to do. If you want to fight tribalism, then you have to be very vocal. You have to vocally and adamantly refuse to see people by tribe. There are no tribes. We are fellow Americans and members of the human family. There is no collective guilt. We have to see the relatability, the commonality, or there will be no reason to help one another. If you think about it, in the Civil War really only took place because abolitionists, people who saw the plight of their fellow human beings who were slaves, were able to convince and shape the culture and the perception of all of America to see, the north side of America at least, to see that these people were human beings too, and that they were having a human experience that could be related to, that you could empathize with someone who was chained down in such a way, and so it made you want to act for their good. And people willingly fought and died in a civil war for that. So if you believe that you can't relate to other people if they're in a different tribe, that a tribe has its own unique experience that no one else can relate to, then you isolate yourself. What we actually need is to come together. And Martin Luther King, his message was all about coming together, because he knew that the only way for change to take place is for people to empathize and hear and see one another. Now you may say, Alex, that's not right. You're wrong. For example, like, black people and other people of color everywhere, every day are experiencing the same trials and troubles that white people just could not understand. In fact, they're the cause of it, etc. To that, I ask you, what is actually taking place? Is there a tribal perception? Is there a narrative and mentality that the media is convincing people, especially minority groups, to believe in? I'm going to answer that for you. The answer is yes, absolutely. People can, by groups, have common experiences, but that does not mean we cannot empathize and relate. That does not mean one group is purely the enemy and the other one is not. That's just more division. And yes, there is this perception where people in these groups are now convinced that everything taking place is some way in shape or form against them. They turn themselves into complete victims. Once you believe that you're a victim, you will see that everything that people do, no matter what they do, is and everything that is happening is in some way disparaging you. And if that's your perception, then all sense of reason and rational thinking, it goes out the window. And you can't convince people that they are making up reasons to be offended, because everything they're doing is to reinforce their tribe identity. So you can't convince them they really have to wake up themselves. Tribes are the antithesis of reason, compassion, unity, and equality. And I just have to say, I hope that you can say like I am, this is what you should really declare. And this is what I'm declaring. That I refuse to be put in a box. I refuse to be put into a tribe or a group. I am so much more than what other people try to define me as. I'm so much more than my skin color, than my religion, than my economic class. My identity is not a white Christian heterosexual male. I don't live by white privilege. I don't have collective guilt. I have not done wrong to anyone, and nothing done in the past by other people has any bearing on my identity or my choices. This is what I believe. I believe that I am a child of God, and I am an American, and that's how I choose to view others. I believe in and know that there is still so much more good in people. Human beings may have the capacity for much evil, but they also have an infinite capacity for good, for compassion, kindness, service, and love. So I refuse to see the tribes, to acknowledge the tribes. I see people as fellow human beings, as someone whom God created, that I can love and support and appreciate and relate to and serve. Thank you for listening to The Alex Spicer Show. Don't forget to hit like and subscribe to this podcast, and live free until next time.